Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Knowing Christ Ministries Half Hour, or as we like to think of it, the 30 minutes during which we focus on our Lord Jesus Christ, the one true Son of God Almighty. Last week we discussed the difference reliance upon the Lord makes in your approach to chronic illness, and essentially highlighted the types of relationship a person has with their illness impact the relationship they have, is impacted by the relationship they have with the Lord. Only a few people like Tom, Lisa, and Virginia had filled the God prescription. Well, today we're going to look at these individuals once again and see where they are relative to the God prescription, which I believe will enable some of you to legitimately see where you are based on your answers to the pivotal questions I've asked in this series and in the workbook on this series. After that, we're going to wrap up with how to fill the God prescription. However, as I've said before, and I want to emphasize, for those that missed the prior three broadcasts, I strongly urge you to listen to the entire series off of free downloads from iTunes or from links off of our Knowing Christ Ministries Facebook page or from our ministry website or from our Knowing Christ Ministries Tracks app available for the iOS, iPhone, and iPad platform, as well as the Android platform. And I also want to point out our workbook on the God prescription is available for pre-order off of our Facebook page as well. So just a reminder, last week we referenced scripture a bit more than other weeks in this series, and consistent with that, as I've said, the best medicine you can ever rely on and benefit from is the God prescription. The point of our entire series is that while we rely on the medical profession, faith in and dependence upon God makes all the difference. Christ tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, to seek first the kingdom of God, and I firmly believe this makes all the difference. You know this is what the God prescription is all about. Last week, we looked at the profiles and history of a number of people with chronic illness who had either filled the God prescription and had seen wonderful results, and how others, failing to fill the God prescription, failing to avail oneself of this priceless medicine, not only failed to provide a protective element, but actually worsened the quality of life, as well as worsened their pain and despair from the illness. Now, last week we talked about a few people who had filled the God prescription. Lisa, the friend of mine with multiple organ failure who loves life and is a woman of great faith and trust in Christ, despite her inability to read her Bible anymore due to rapidly advancing macular degeneration, she still focuses on God's Word by listening to and selecting passages from an audio Bible. Despite her limitations, pain, and discomfort, she actively prays three times a day. Lisa has no caretaker other than Christ Jesus. Lisa claims to have a wonderful quality of life. She has hope. She smiles. She inspires others, and she loves with a gracious heart. Lisa has trust in her doctors, albeit some more than others, but her faith is in Christ Jesus. Lisa follows her doctor's prescriptions, but the ultimate prescription Lisa follows is the God prescription, and even she will make the claim this has made all the difference in the world for her. Lisa believes, as I do, without following the God prescription, she'd be dead many times over, either from one of her illnesses or from suicide. Instead, she loves life and continues to astound her doctors with her attitude. Tom was another friend who, with his wife, looked to Christ Jesus first and foremost as their provider and the one to satisfy all of their needs despite crippling illnesses affecting them both, coupled with his now fatal diagnosis of inoperable cancer that is of a very rare type that doesn't even respond to any known treatments. They could bemoan their faith separately and collectively, but they filled the God prescription. When they have concerns or issues, they first and foremost pray and seek the type of heartfelt and faith-filled prayer from others. For the most part, they each enjoy a wonderful quality of life, knowing it is a new normal for them. But based on the new normal, they're thriving. While they're tightly tied to the recommendations and guidance of doctors, they also know the ultimate physician is Jesus Christ. Then we talked about Angela, who has progressive multiple sclerosis, and doctors don't know how to treat her suffering from unrelenting dizziness, muscle weakness, and chronic pain. So she just endures. However, Angela is a devout Christian. While she may be taken off guard and reach out to others when she's afraid because of her symptoms from time to time, Angela's eyes are generally fixed upward and outward upon him. Angela relies on a modest amount of medication to control the dizziness, but claims to have a tremendously wonderful quality of life. She runs a ministry herself and focuses on her relationship with Christ. She babysits regularly for her nieces and nephews, whom she adores, and is a caretaker for her elderly mother. No matter what, Angela has faith that Christ is in her. She reads and studies God's word. She praises and worships him, praying without ceasing, and does not focus on her illness, for Angela has many, not just progressive multiple sclerosis. Angela has filled the God prescription and has an enhanced quality of life and joyfully tells everyone how much she loves her life and loves and glorifies the Lord through her wellness, not illness. Now, in addition to myself and my experiences with the God prescription, you've seen how others react when they feel the God prescription. Well, last week we also talked about several other people who either had the same illnesses as Angela or others like Mary who had rheumatoid arthritis and would shake her fist in anger raised towards God, cursing him and feeling cursed by him rather than seeing and seeking an opportunity to glorify him. We also talked about those who, like Mary, would outwardly profess to believe and seek prayer from others, but not truly internalize the implications and faith involved in seeking prayer from others through intercession and be ready for the answers from the Lord. Mary's actions were strictly for show. Mary needs to fill the God prescription. And we talked about Virginia, who isolated herself and has few friends since her diagnosis, as most believe all she does is complain about her pain and fatigue all the time. Mary has friends on social media sites, but primarily frequents only those pages and groups associated with her illness, where she can continue to bemoan her fate with the only people she believes understand. Mary does not believe in God. In fact, like Angela, Mary curses at God and curses at a God she doesn't believe in, which is kind of complex there and contrary, cursing at a God she doesn't believe in and at the same time blaming God for her afflictions. Mary has a very poor quality of life. She suffers from depression and anxiety and has suicidal ideations. Mary's focus is entirely upon herself. Mary needs to fill the God prescription. And then last week we talked about Charles, who also professes to believe in Christ as his personal Savior, but he makes a show of attending church on Sunday and seeking prayer, but who in reality limits his interactions with the Lord to that which is spoon-fed to him on Sunday or as part of the words to worship song or songs. Charles does not worship during the week on his own, nor does he read God's word, nor does he thank God for his many blessings. Instead, Charles bemoans his fate to all who will listen and asks people to pray for him. But his words are empty requests, as Charles himself does not look to God for comfort and healing. He focuses on the comforts and healing that only man can provide, ranging from pharmaceuticals to sympathy. Whilst we cannot judge Charles's heart to know whether what the relationship he has with the Lord truly is, we can tell from his actions. His focus is entirely upon himself, and his quality of life is poor. He uses his illness as a part of how he defines who he is. Charles definitely needs to fill the God prescription. And remember, I do know that more than the physical problems we're going through with our chronic illnesses, we have to deal with the emotional consequences, the self-pity, the depression, the constant anxiety over being judged and misjudged, the fear, the rejection, and the despair. And we talked last week about how that filters into premise number one of the God prescription, that believing in God and the goodness of a God is a challenge for many who are sick. But more than it being a problem for so many is believing in the goodness of a God and believing in God is an absolute necessity when you are sick. But of course, that leads to our second premise, which is essential again when filling the God prescription, that giving control of our lives to Christ is difficult in the best of circumstances, let alone when you're sick. Remember, it's natural for so many, and this is a very sad statement, that when faced with trials, many individuals either stop believing in God or they deny his existence entirely. How often do you hear, or have you perhaps even said yourself, how can a loving God allow this to happen? Or, if God loved me, he'd never inflict this kind of punishment on me. Or even, God abandoned me. But I can honestly claim, as can others who have filled the God prescription, when I and others who have filled the God prescription are at our worst, we know that he has not abandoned us. He lives inside of us. We know this from Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. We know that when we cry in pain that he is there collecting our tears. We know this from Psalm chapter 56, verse 8. We know that he carries and has felt our pain. We know this from Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4. And we know in our heart of hearts that the pain we're experiencing, both physical and emotional, pales in comparison to the agonizing last days and moments of his life on earth. Does that mean our pain is any less important to him? Just one of the infinite wonderful things about our Lord is that the mind-shattering pain we may be suffering is just as important to him as the blood we shed when we experience a paper cut. In other words, nothing to him is inconsequential. Now, to fill the God prescription, you have to believe that your faith in our Lord is as strong as it is, as resolute, as when we're not in pain. There's no excuse for a degradation of pain just because of a trial. After all, why should it not be just as strong, if not stronger, when I am facing a trial? There's no excuse for the degradation of any kind of faith. Faith is believing in and fully trusting in what is not seen. We know that from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Not simply trusting in what is seen. Just because I cannot see our Lord right next to me, comforting me when I'm in pain, doesn't mean he's not there. I cannot see him when I'm not in pain either. But I trust he's with me 24/7. I have faith. And I guarantee this, if you cannot believe in God when you have a chronic illness, your eyes will not be upon him. They'll be upon yourself and your own personal feelings of pain and trauma. Let me repeat this and try and do it the right way. If you cannot believe in God when you have a chronic illness, your eyes will be upon yourself and your own personal feelings of pain and trauma. Now, last week, in addition to asking who you most identified with of the individuals I mentioned, Lisa, Angela, and Tom, or whether you were more like Mary, Charles, and others I mentioned last week who desperately needed to fill the God prescription, who did you answer with? Now, I know one of the most difficult challenges for the majority of people is how to enter into meaningful prayer when you don't really feel like praying, when you hurt, when you're in pain, when you just want to numb out instead. So how do you discern when you're clinging to him as an act of genuine love and motivation or whether it's an act of desperation? And as I said last week, how many times do you throw up your hands, whether literally or figuratively, and shout out, Jesus, take the wheel, as popularized by the Carrie Underwood song? How many times have you shouted to Jesus, help me, I can't do this alone? I know I go through this silly little scenario at least once or twice a day, and often in areas that are so minor and trivial, it seems like it's just the culmination of everything that's taken its toll. Well, this type of action is especially true when you have no reserves left, when you have no energy, and you just can't handle coping with or taking care of one more thing on your plate. So how if you go back to your answers to those pesky introspective questions I asked you to contemplate over the last several weeks? You need to assess where you are and what your beliefs are regarding your illness, your relationship with the Lord, your level of reliance and faith in the Lord, and your readiness to fill the God prescription. You've listened to cases where the God prescription has been filled and the miraculous difference it makes in people's lives who have chronic illness. And I can attest to, and you've seen in her witness accounts here, and I'm sure in your own life, you know some people facing what seem like impossible odds with chronic illness who still seem to have a wonderful quality of life, full of joy, full of faith, who not only profess to believe in the Lord, but who enjoy an intimate relationship with Him. And you see the difference that that relationship has made to their illness and to their lives. The God prescription has made the difference in their lives, and I guarantee it will in yours. So how do you go about filling the God prescription, especially when you might not want to pray in the first place? Well, you have to remember, if you believe in Him and sincerely pray to Him, prayer can be as simple as crying out and saying, "Help me!" Prayer doesn't have to be a formal process. And I also want to point out that when you fill the God prescription, it's not going to be the same as going to the local pharmacy. It's going to take work and effort. It's going to take the desire to seek and know Him, to love Him as desperately as He loves you, and to learn to focus on Him, breaking the bad habit you might have of focusing on yourself instead because of your illness. So my recommendations on how to fill the God prescription focus on how to build a more intimate, godly-based relationship between Him and you. That's the starting point. So, recommendation number one, spend quiet time on a daily basis reserved specifically for communing with God and for prayer. Remember, as I said, prayer does not have to be a formal process. It can be as simple as crying out, "Help me," or entering into a conversation with Him. And I guarantee it really is as simple as talking to Him. Seriously, don't be afraid to talk to Him. He's there to listen to you. And unlike many people, He actually hangs on your every word. Can you fathom that? The Lord Jesus Christ hangs on your every word. But I'm also going to caution you, don't be so overwhelmed in your talking that there's no quiet time. If you're too talkative, it's just like when you're in a conversation with someone and you talk over their response. You're not going to hear what they say when you're talking over them. Well, you're not going to hear what the Lord Jesus Christ has to say to you if you're talking over Him. Take that quiet time to listen. Number two, maintain a godly focus throughout the day. Read God's Word daily in a peaceful environment where you can read what His love letter is saying to you and what advice He's trying to teach you, or perhaps how He's even trying to reach you and remind you of His unconditional love for you. Three, surround yourself with daily devotionals, with godly friends, and with worship music. I get several devotionals in the mail throughout the day, and I love reading them. And while listening to worship music, and I distinguish between worship music and contemporary Christian music, which are two very different things, and yes, when you listen to worship music, sing to the Lord. Find some scripture-based music and surround yourself with that all day long if you need to. For example, as background music while you work if you can, or while driving. To be honest, I listen to Southern gospel music all day long. Literally every minute, I'm hearing the name Jesus Christ in praise, worship, and glory throughout the day. And I'm sorry, in an environment like that, that I've built for myself, and others have, you can't not focus on our Lord Christ. I guarantee it. In an environment like that, you can't focus on yourself. All you can do is think of the Lord. You're surrounded by his glory and majesty. It really is quite amazing what happens when you surround yourself with that all day long. Well, number four, examine your life and your normal daily activities. After examining your life, you might see some activities that may seem innocent but aren't really healthy for a godly walk in the path of righteousness. Examples of innocent activities include Facebook postings, perhaps, and excessive attention, particularly to pages that focus on illnesses. You might find the adage, "Misery loves company," as true, and you may have learned a lot, but you don't need to surround yourself with people whose primary focus is on illness and themselves. They'll seek to draw you in and keep your focus there, too. Their focus is inward and downward. They do not rely on God. They do not have their focus upward and outward, which is exactly where yours needs to be. Well, what else can you do? What about seeking out a prayer partner? Perhaps someone else who is a godly person who has a chronic illness as well, so that you can intercede for each other. You can lift each other up in Him. Help the other regain their focus on the Lord when it wavers, and so forth. Sometimes this also serves as having an accountability partner to make certain you both stay focused and committed to walking the path of the God prescription. And for making sure that both of you keep your eyes upward and outward and fixed on Him. So before I wrap up here, I'm going to ask you a few more questions because, number one, I like asking questions. But number two, these are all things that you have to think about. Just like when you take a prescription from the doctor, you have certain expectations built up in your mind of how you're going to feel afterwards or how you expect to feel. Well, this is kind of the same thing that I'm going to ask you about your expectations. Based on the recommendations provided, or perhaps others you've thought of, what are some of the activities you can see actively initiating to help you refocus your life on the Lord? What activities can you commit to initiating? And how long are you going to make your commitment for? Just a short while to see if the God prescription makes a difference, or permanently? And what do you believe some of the barriers, if any, that you might encounter trying to initiate some of your refocusing activities might be? What changes in yourself, this gets into the expectations I was talking about, what changes in yourself will you be looking for, or do you expect to see in yourself as you regain your focus on God? You need to examine your expectations, but then don't give up. Talk about these with your prayer partner. Talk about these with God. And better yet, contact us at Knowing Christ Ministries, and we'll help you through the rough patches. Well, for those of you who want more comprehensive information, and certainly much more information than what we've breezed through today, on how you can approach your own personal struggle with chronic illness and transform your approach to one that focuses first on the Lord, I strongly suggest you pre-order our book, The God Prescription, for a much more comprehensive discussion, including chapters that will expand on the material that we talked about today to restore your relationship with God and others in your life, despite the presence of chronic illness. And as always, as I've said throughout this entire series, remember, as alone as you may feel at any given time, due to the presence of illness in your life, you are not alone. And I'm not talking about having someone else in an online forum to share your misery with. I'm talking about God. No matter what the situation, He has never left your side. Much like a loving father, He has never abandoned you, no matter how abandoned you may have felt. And I'd venture a guess that the abandonment that you felt was when you took your eyes off of Him and turned them inward because you were hurting. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for sending Your Son Jesus to die for our sins. I thank You, Jesus. I thank You, Lord, for welcoming our focus on You during times of trial to be the safe refuge for us. And Lord, we thank You for being the great physician, for being the one to heal us physically, emotionally, and spiritually. You know our hearts. You know our sorrows. You know the pain in our hearts when illness strikes and we feel alone despite the presence of family and friends in our life. Father, we ask that You help restore the status of our health from being debilitated or one as an invalid to one of strength and perseverance, where the illness is only an inconvenience we have to deal with but not focus on. Father, we ask You to help us be like Angela, strong and independent, dependent only upon You and our relationship with You as a source of easing our affliction. We ask for Your help and guidance when we naturally turn our eyes downward and inward upon ourselves because we hurt rather than remaining on You. Help us to lift them up and maintain their focus upon You. And dear Lord, it's in Your ever-blessed name, Lord Jesus, I pray. Amen. I want to thank you for listening to us today. If you'd like more information on our speaking engagements, or have us visit your church or organization to talk about chronic illness, please email us at info@knowingchrist.com. Again, our books are available on Amazon throughout the world or off of our Facebook page. I urge you to follow us both on our new platform where I speak live on Spreaker, or listen to us off of our pre-recorded broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. Or, of course, you can always listen to our broadcasts as free podcast downloads off of iTunes. I'm very excited about our app available for the Android and iOS markets for the iPhone and iPad. Just a reminder, it's optimized for the iPhone and thus only available in the App Store if you search for iPhone apps, but it will run successfully on the iPad. It's just not going to be in the iPad search. The app for either platform allows you to listen to our live broadcasts and interact with us while we're on the air through a chat facility, which is way cool. And, of course, it also allows you to listen to our broadcast library directly from within the app without needing to interface with iTunes. Next week's radio broadcast is going to be an audio how-to tutorial for both accessing the apps from both platforms, as well as how to actually use the app and interact with us through the chat facility, and I'm going to get into all that. For updates and invitations to our new shows, please visit our Facebook page and like us to stay in the know. Don't just visit, actually like us. Both our publications, including the books we've talked about, actually all of our publications, but including the two books on illness, God, Marriage, and Illness, and The God Prescription, can be directly ordered off of the Facebook page, as well as donations can be received from a tab on the Facebook page as well. I invite you to listen to us next week, and I thank you for listening to us today. But until then, just a reminder, it's not what you know, it's who you know. This is Dr. Danielle West for Knowing Christ Ministries saying, may Christ continue to bless you richly. Have a blessed week, my friends.